these young folks are singing for us too, and the young people, Westside Baptist Church here in Hillsboro, I appreciate that so very much. Now take your Bible and look with us in the Word of God in the book of Isaiah. I want to speak to you today for just a little while in the book of Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, you turn there with us and let's notice the scripture for just a few minutes this morning. In the book of Isaiah, the scripture says in chapter 12 of the book of Isaiah, in verse 3, chapter 12 in the book of Isaiah, verse 3. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there and I want you to notice with us the word of the Lord. He says here, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." With joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. Bow your heads with us for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to pray, and thank you for the opportunity to be here at Westside Baptist Church and to fellowship with the Brother Nestor and the people here. I pray that you'll bless the service this morning, and souls might be saved, the church edified, and your will done. I pray the Holy Spirit may help me to preach with the power and unction that only comes from the throne room. Lord, I need your power and help as much now as I ever have. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, today, and may your will be done in all hearts and lives in this building. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you from these verses of Scripture and talk to you this morning on this subject, drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Now this little word salvation implies, from the Hebrew word, it implies deliverance and comfort and healing. And essential, this little word salvation takes care of all of our needs as Christians. If you're a child of God and you have salvation in your heart and you've been saved by the grace of God, then essentially this little word salvation takes care of all you need. Now many times we're living substandardly, we're living below where we should live as God's children. We do not lay hold on the promises of God. God has a storehouse and everything we have need of is there, but we just fail to back up to the storehouse and say, "Lord, I need so and so." We have not, the scripture says, because we ask not. Amen. And so we want to see this for just a little while. Now this word well, my friend, implies, it says wells, more than one. There's many wells of blessings. There's many blessings that the Lord bestows upon us. There's the blessings that come from the Word of God. There's the blessings that come from the sweet Holy Spirit. There's the blessing that comes from communion with Jesus Christ. There's many blessings that come from the Father. But we have only one salvation, one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and no other. The word water implies, my friend, Jesus Christ himself. In John 4 and 14, he says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now this is the water that this world needs today. Amen? Is the water of the life of Jesus Christ. And this is the water that's needed. In John 17 and 6, you'll find the scripture says in 17 and 6 of John, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Now, this is one of the most misquoted verses, I suppose, that you may run across. Now, a lot of times, people just get two words wrong in this verse. They say, "Thou gavest me them." But that's not it at all. I want you to notice this, and if this breaks in on you right good, it'll bless you real good. Notice what this verse really says. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Not gave us me them, but gave us them me. In other words, Jesus says, Father, you have given to them me. I have poured out my soul. I have poured out my all. I have given everything for them. I have reserved nothing, but I've given my all for them. And Father, you have given them me. What greater gift than the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? I don't know of anything better than the Lord. I don't know of anything that's better to receive than to receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, Jesus says that the Father has given me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given you, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved. All right? Now this word tells us here, with joy. Tells us that we can have joy in our services in the Lord. Have you ever seen anybody go to church and they act like it was the hardest thing in the world for them to do? That it was real pure drudgery to go to the house of God. I'll tell you, all the activities of the church, of our services, whether it be the regular services or singing or prayer meeting or visitation or revival or bus work or the choir or the teaching or the preaching, all of it should be done with joy in our heart and thanksgiving and thanking the Lord that God allowed us to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? It should be done with joy. When you come to the Westside Baptist Church here in Hillsville, Virginia, and walk through these doors, you're to walk through with a big smile on your face saying, thank God for the opportunity to be here. We was down on one of the islands in the West Indies where they don't have the freedom, some of them don't, that we have here, where some of the missionaries were run off of the islands, and some of the people, some of the white people there were killed just last year. And my friend, but we have the opportunity to come to the house of God and serve the Lord with joy and with thanksgiving. All right, we ought to do this with joy. It's drudgery for some to serve the Lord, it seems. I'll tell you what, if you find it drudgery to go to the house of God, there's one of two things wrong with you. Either you've never been saved or you've backslid pretty far. One of the two. I'll tell you right now, I don't know about you, Brother Nestor, but when it comes church time, there's something gets to moving inside of me, and then it gets down into my feet. And my friend, I've got to go to the house of the Lord because there's joy in fellowshipping with the brother and singing the songs of Zion and meeting with the Lord at the house of God. All right? Now let's notice here for a bit, and let's notice what he says here. From the wells of salvation. Now, out of the well of salvation, I want you to see some things. We find, my friend, we can draw from the well of salvation. We can draw, number one, from the well of forgiveness. I'm glad that the Lord will forgive us. The Bible tells us over in the book of John, he tells us in John 8 and verse 3, he tells us here of a woman taken in adultery. And Jesus forgave this woman that was taken in adultery. Here in verse 3 of John 8, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And Moses in the law commandeth us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accuser? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here we find that this sinful woman had went and drawn from the well of salvation. There was another woman that went to the well to get some water and came back with the spring of life in her soul. Amen. Because this good salvation the Lord provides. Now they just did this, tempted the Lord. They said, here we've caught this woman in adultery. And the law says that she should be stoned. Well, you know what they did? The scribes and the Pharisees, they told the truth, but they just told half the truth. And a lot of people found telling the truth, but they don't tell all the truth, they tell half the truth. Because over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20 and 10, and Deuteronomy 22 and 22, the scripture did say that a woman taken in adultery was to be stoned and killed. But what else did it say? It said the man also was to be stoned and killed. Both of them were to be killed, but they didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman to Jesus. And I'm glad he said, thank God, he said, thy sins are forgiven, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It was a blessed day when the Lord Jesus Christ said to me, Brother Nestor, go and sin no more. Thy sins are forgiven. My sin might not have been one thing. Your sin might have been one, mine might have been another, but it makes no difference. Jesus has to say to all of us, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a blessed day that is. Jesus forgives you and me of our sins. That's a blessed day. Now, after all God has forgiven us for, we ought to be fast to forgive our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? We should. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. In this verse of Scripture, he says, be kind towards little Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord, and forgive each other. And if you have aught or anything comes up with your wires crossed, he says, forgive one another and be fast to do so. A lot of times you'll find in our churches there's a little group that'll come sit down over here that won't speak to a little group that sits down over here, and they won't they just won't have any dealings with each other. They say they sang about loving the Lord, yet they won't shake hands when they go out the door. Fact is, if one goes out the front door, the other head for the back door to get out, so they won't have to shake hands with one another. My dear friend, how can the world want to be saved when they see such goings on as that, as the fellow said? Never will they want the Lord then. All right, but there's the well of forgiveness that Jesus gave. Then secondly, there's the well of comfort and healing that Jesus did. I'm glad that Jesus has the power to comfort. He has the power to touch these bodies, and he can do so. In Matthew 9 and verse 20, the scripture tells us of a sick woman with an issue of blood. Now let me read. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now here you see the Lord Jesus with compassion. Here's a poor woman that was in need of a touch from God. And she come and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. No doubt she was weakly and frail. And no doubt the crowd was shoving and pushing. And maybe she even had to almost crawl to just touch the hem of his garment. But she said, if I can just but touch Jesus, I shall be made whole. Thank God. I'm glad October 7, 1954, I touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he touched an old, cold, black, sinful, hell-bound heart of stone. And when I touched the hem of his garment, and when he touched a sinner's heart, I'll tell you right now, neighbor, he saved my soul, and I haven't gotten over it, haven't wanted to get over it, and never shall get over it. I'll still be rejoicing on the shores of sweet eternity because the Lord Jesus Christ touched me one day, and you'll be rejoicing too if you're one of his. Amen. All right. Then I want you to see the comfort of the Holy Spirit also. We can find comfort from the well of salvation. In Acts 9 and verse 31, he says here, and then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Here you find, my neighbor, in these verses of Scripture, there is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad the Holy Spirit has not left us. I'm glad He's still with us. And when He saves us, He comes to dwell within us. He walks with us. He sleeps with us. He gets up with us. He goes with us throughout the day. We can truly stand up and sing that song, "Never Alone," because Jesus is with us day by day, year by year. And thank God you can't go anywhere but what He won't go with you if you're one of His. You might go somewhere where He'll be ashamed to be there with you if you're not serving the Lord as you should. But if you're one of His, you'll not go anywhere but what you don't carry the blessed Holy Spirit with you in your heart. And He gives comfort. I have seen some people in such a awful condition and some people in such awful tragedies. I've seen some things befall families, and you would have thought those families would have went to pieces, and they would have had it not been for the good sweet Spirit of the Holy Ghost comforting their heart in the time of bereavement, in the time of trouble. I've met some folk and seemed like the whole world caved in on them. Their families wiped out in a stroke. Their earnings taken away. Their health is gone. And yet they raised their voices and said, "Thank God, the sweet Spirit of God is real." A dear brother that I used to come to our meetings, and he was a preacher, and he took this crippling arthritis. And when they were giving him medicine for it, they didn't know it, but while he's having one thing, it caused him to go blind. And I went to visit that brother. He couldn't see me, and he could hear me though, and he listened to the broadcast, and he said, "Come in, preacher." And I thought he was asleep, but he wasn't, but he was blind. He said, "Preacher, I will tell you, I'm 9/10 dead as far as this body's concerned." But he said, "I've never been so much alive in Jesus Christ." And I said, "Praise the Lord, because of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That dear brother's done known to be with Jesus today. God's took him out of his sorrow and took him home to be with Him." But He gave him comfort of the Holy Spirit while he was here. All right? Then we ought to comfort one another. The Scripture says, over in the book of Thessalonians, in chapter 4, of 1 Thessalonians, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I'll tell you, teachers or preachers, if you have someone that needs a little comfort, I'll tell you how to do it. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." He's talking about in these words. He's talking about these verses of Scripture. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." If you've got a dear sick brother or sister, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If you've got somebody dying with a terminal disease on the deathbed, wherefore comfort that brother with these words. If you've got somebody going through the valley, wherefore comfort them with these words. These are the words that give consolation and give comfort. And Jesus says, comfort one another with these words. Then I want you to notice the well of wisdom and knowledge. We can draw, not only my friend, from the well of forgiveness and the well of comfort and healing, but the well of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is to know when, and knowledge is to know how. There is a difference. Sometimes you see people that has wisdom with no knowledge. And sometimes you see people with knowledge with no wisdom. It's two different things, separate there. But wisdom, my neighbor, is to know when, and knowledge is to know how. We need to wait upon the Lord for our wisdom. The Scripture says in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says in chapter 7 and verse 19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Wisdom to know how to serve the Lord, to know how to do God's will, to know how to do God's work. We need the wisdom that comes from God to serve the Lord in the way that He would have us to. We need to pray for God that He would give us knowledge. If there's one thing our Baptist churches needs, that's wisdom and knowledge. How to conduct ourselves before the Lord. Have you ever seen somebody get out of turn in the church just because they didn't use wisdom or knowledge? And they said something, they wished they could have drawn it back and not have said it. They would have given $100 if they'd not said what they said, simply because they didn't use a little wisdom and knowledge. We need to pray for God to give us wisdom and knowledge. Why? Because we need knowledge and wisdom of His work. We need to work in the work of God with knowledge and wisdom about doing the work of God. We need the knowledge and wisdom about the Word of God. If we do not have knowledge and wisdom of this Word, then it'll do us not much good. But we need knowledge and wisdom of His Word, of His work, and then we need knowledge and wisdom of His will. A lot of people that's Christian don't know the will of the Lord for their lives. They flounder around here and there, and they don't seem to know, don't seem to become stable, don't seem to know which direction God wants them to go. But I'll tell you, we need to have the knowledge and wisdom of God about His will for our lives. Everyone that's saved, God saved you for a purpose. What did He save you for? To keep you out of hell? No. Now you might think that's strange, but He didn't save you to keep you out of hell. That's a byproduct. He saved you to serve, first of all. He saved you to glorify His name. You were made to glorify the name of the Lord, just as the birds made to sing. You were made to glorify the name of the Lord, to serve others, and to reproduce, that is, to bring souls to Calvary, and live such a life that will make the sinners hungry for what you have in Christ Jesus. That was the reason God saved you, to win souls, and do His will, and serve Him, and praise Him, and love Him. And keeping you out of hell was a byproduct. Now, you thought it was the first thing because you headed that way, and I thought it was the first thing. I got worried about that. See, before I got saved, I got nervous. I got scared. I was nervous. I was afraid I was going to hell, and I was headed that direction. But you see, the Lord, He saved me, and thank God I'm not going there because I have been saved. All right, now I want you to notice the fourth thing. There is the well of joy and happiness that we can draw from. Amen. Serve the Lord. Now let me read that verse, that text verse. Isaiah 12 and verse 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. With joy. Now, let's talk about this church this morning. Did you hear what I just said? With joy. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, some of us look like we got a little joy. Some of us look like we lost our joy. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to do something else to get you stirred up here, or get your joy back or something. But some of us look like we're pulling pickled crab apple time or something else, like you've been drinking vinegar or something. But God wants you and I to be joyful Christians and happy Christians. And if anybody in Hillsville, Virginia should be happy, should be we that are saved. Amen. Yes, sir. Why, think about it. We've got the best insurance policy in the world. Insurance goes to the grave. Insurance kicks both ends of the grave out and goes on through it. We have Jesus takes us on through it. He's promised to answer our prayer. He's promised to look after, supply every need. He's promised to, my friend, everything that we need in this salvation we can obtain from God. And if anybody ought to be happy, it ought to be you that are here today and myself. The joy of salvation, the joy of happiness. It's a great joy to serve the Lord. With great happiness, we should serve the Lord. We have opportunity that others don't have. We have a great opportunity to serve the Lord. You know what Hillsville, Virginia needs to see out of you all? He needs to see some joy and happiness. A lot of times somebody will say, Hello, my neighbor, how you doing? Then you run over on them about an hour, and they said, well, if that's what they got, if that's salvation, I don't want it. I've got something better than that. Amen? And you tell them all your troubles and all your burdens, and act like it's such a terrible catastrophe serving the Lord. They'll think about that a little bit and use a little knowledge and common sense and knowledge and say, if that's what salvation does to you, I don't want it. Yes, sir. That reminds me of a little boy one time, you know, his grandpa never did smile, and yet he was one of the elders at the church, and everybody he come in contact with never laughed, never smiled. All of them were sad. And little boy said, well, boy, this sure is funny kind of religion. So he went out to the farm one day, went out to the barn, got out there, and he looked out there, and yonder come a big old long-faced mule. And he got right squared up, eye to eye, that long-faced mule, and he says, I know what you got. He said, sure enough, you got religion. I could tell by looking at you. Amen. That's the way a lot of Christians look like. You know, look like it's such a terrible awfulness to serve the Lord. Listen, you ought to be happy. There ought to be something about your life that'll cause people in this town to be hungry for Jesus Christ and see such power in your life as to make them hungry for the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We talk about a dynamite gospel with firecracker lives, don't we? That's about the extent of it. Yes, sir. And we just, God's been so good to most of us, we don't even come to Him like we ought to, don't even pray like we ought to, and don't even serve Him with happiness as we ought to. There ought to be joint happiness between not only man and God, but there ought to be joint happiness between the brethren. Listen, when you come to the house of the Lord, it ought to be a great time of fellowship among the brothers and sisters in the Lord while you're here. Some of the churches I go in, one of the things that I notice, first of all, before service, a few minutes before service, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, the people in that congregation are just fellowshipping with one another and just seem like just loving one another so graciously, and it seems like there's a sweetest spirit of love that prevails. And I tell you, that's wonderful. We need more of that in our churches. There should be some joy among the brethren and sisters, and a oneness in the Spirit. There was that oneness on the day of Pentecost when God sent His power and souls were saved. All right? Not only, my friend, do we draw from the well of forgiveness, the well of comfort and feeling, and healing, but the well of wisdom and knowledge, and the well of joy and happiness, but there's also the well of strength and power that we can draw from. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, in verse 6 of our text chapter of Isaiah 12. Alright, he says here there is strength and power. Over in the book of Exodus 15:2, you'll find that Moses sang a song. The Lord is my strength and song, and He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. My neighbor, today, there ought to be great joy and great strength and great power in serving the Lord. There's strength and power for every one of us today. Are you facing any problems? Have you faced any problems as a Christian you didn't know what to do with? You didn't know how to cope with it? Have you ever run up to a mountain and you said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do here. It seems like I can't get over it, and I can't get around it, I can't tunnel under it. Have you ever just run right up to a blank wall, didn't know which direction to go or what to do? I have news for you. Jesus is able to help you. Jesus has the power, and He can help you in anything. If anybody had run up against a blank wall, that was Moses when he was crossing the sea, and there was the army behind him, the sea in front of him, and everything looks bad for him, but he was trusting the Lord, and the Lord will make a way somehow. Amen. He sure will, my brother and sister. Then, I want you to notice the next thing. I'll have to hasten and let you go. But the next thing I want you to notice is the well of faithfulness and purpose. Faithfulness and purpose. The Bible said in Matthew 25:21, His Lord said unto him, a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We ought to be faithful. A well of faithfulness and purpose of life. You ought to be faithful to the Westside Baptist Church to be here when the doors open. Every time the doors open, you ought to be here. Every time you have a revival, you ought to be here every night. Every time you have a prayer meeting, you ought to be here every night. Be faithful in the things of the Lord. There's one characteristic that God is looking for from His children, and that is faithfulness. And when you are a faithful soldier of the cross, the other things will fall in line automatically. Just be faithful to God with all of your heart. And then one day, thank God, He'll say, well done. I want the Lord to say, well done, don't you? Over in Ephesians 1:1, let's notice this. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Much is said throughout the Bible on the part of being faithful. Now, if you want to discourage the heart of your pastor or your teacher, if you want my friend, if you want to backslide on God and go away from the Lord and grow cold to the Lord, you just become unfaithful to the Lord and that'll lose the job. I guarantee you this pastor that pastors the Westside Baptist Church, if you don't show up and fill these pews, if you're not here in your position as you should, it'll break his heart. I guarantee it, because he loves you. You ought to be faithful to this man and most of all to your God. And this church that the Lord has planted in this Hillsville, Virginia. You ought to be faithful here, each one of you, to serve the Lord. And then not only should there be faithfulness, but there should be purpose in our life. Ephesians 2:10. He says here, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, not only can we draw from the well of faithfulness, but there's purpose in our life also. God has a reason for your living. Do you hear that? God has a reason for your living. You might say, well, what am I doing here? God has a reason for you being here. God had a reason for you being born. There's no accidental birth, in case you didn't know it. God has a reason for your being born. God has a reason for your being alive. God has a reason. There's a purpose for your life. If you'll only find that purpose and do the will of God in the thing that God wants you to do, and do that with all your heart, God will bless you, I guarantee you. Whether it be to drive a bus, whether it be to build a bus route, whether it be to sing or teach or preach, or whatever God calls you to do, there's a purpose in your life. Find that purpose and get in it and serve the Lord with all your heart. Just work at it. Work hard. Work hard. Yes, sir. One young preacher went to a great man of the Lord one time, and this great man of the Lord had won souls, and many, many souls had been saved, and he said, I'd like to know your secret of winning souls, and all this. What is the secret? He said, all right, he said, come with me. And young preacher went with the older preacher, and he said, I want you to follow me. So he went down from the auditorium, and he got down into the basement and said, now be right still. Got down in the basement and said he got down there, and they went to a secluded area of the basement, a little room with nobody else there. Everybody else is upstairs, a little room. And said he went in that room, just the older preacher and the young preacher, and he wanted to know what was his secret of being successful. And they got in that room and closed the doors where nobody could hear them. Nobody could hear a word being said. And the young preacher wanted to know what was his secret of being successful in the Lord. And said he called him up to him, and he got right up to his ear, and he wanted to know what his secret was. And he said, brother, said, it's just one word. Work! Hollered it in his ear. work. That's the secret of being successful in the Lord. It's just work. Just work and work and be faithful in the Lord. That's it. Doesn't take some supernatural kind of thing. My friend, if you'll just be a worker for Jesus, you've already got the supernatural. You've got Jesus, which is supernatural. You have the Lord, the power. Just work. Amen. Get busy. And work for Jesus, and that'll do the job. Faithfulness, purpose, purpose to serve God, and be a blessing to one another. Now, you ought to want to serve the Lord. You ought to want to be a blessing to the Lord, but you ought to want to be a blessing to each other as well. Now, you ought to find out if there's anybody in your church that needs a spiritual blessing, a few words of encouragement. Offer those words of encouragement. You ladies, there may be somebody of your church that needs a few words that would be a blessing. Let me tell you something. Did you know that all of us come to the point in our lives at times that just a few fitted words at the right time would be worth $1,000 to us, would be worth more than gold? I, as a pastor, through the years, there have been times that people just automatically take it for granted. A lot of times, the pastor, he's the spiritual leader. He needs no words of encouragement. He's the spiritual leader. But even the pastor needs a few words of encouragement once in a while. And there's been times where one friend just say, God bless you, Pastor. I appreciate what you're doing. Would have meant a whole lot. Amen? There's times in all of our lives, whether we're pastors or seniors or Christians, we need to be a blessing one to another. Now I hasten to close with this. There's the will of care for the sick and the dying. Jesus said, those that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, in Matthew 9:12. Who are those that are sick? Those that are without God, lost without the Lord. The Bible tells us in Luke 16:19-31, gives us an account of a man who died and went to hell, lost without God, and is there today screaming from the pit of hell in the pit of the doom. And that man is lost today because he died and went to hell. Dear sinner friend, if you're here today and you don't have Jesus, you're sick in sin and dead in trespasses. The Bible said before a person's saved, they're sick and dead in trespasses and sin. Are you alive? Are you one of God's children? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.